Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5. The game streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube thanks to the law offices of Amanda Gentry. It is a Titans Monday. Reaction Monday is presented by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. It's not a Reaction Monday. It's just a Titans Monday.
It's a Titans Game Day Monday.
It's a Titans Monday. So Reaction Monday, good thing for them. They'll get double the sponsorship because tomorrow they'll get Reaction Monday as well. So they'll get them both. So
Reaction Monday on a Tuesday.
Shout out to them, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. We are live today at Rock Bottom Brewery downtown. The pregame show starts at 5 o'clock. And again, Rock Bottom Brewery, let me tell all the fine people out there that they all of their beer is made on site by our heroes, their brewers. Any brew that does not meet their ridiculously high standards goes right down the drain. Their beer has never been exposed to light, heat, or oxygen like mass-produced beer, so maximum freshness is maintained. Peak flavors always rule. Their beers do not sit around for months in bottles or kegs. Now, let's start with this. We are going to get to the Vols game. I did not think, unless the Vols won, that the Vols game was going to make Stillman & Company today, because it is Monday Night Football against the best team in the NFL, the Buffalo Bills, and the Bills Mafia has just completely invaded downtown. I did not think the Vols would make today's show. They will next segment. We'll get to the fiasco that Caroline was a part of and reportedly threw the bottle of mustard onto the field Saturday night.
Yep, that was me.
So we'll get to that. Here's a question I want to start off with everybody. Callers, texters, us, 615-737-1025. What do the Titans have to lose today?
Honestly, just the game. Because if the Titans lose the game, that's what everyone expected the Titans to do. The Bills are the best team in the NFL right now. And if you want to make that argument, then okay, call them the second best team in the NFL if you want to say behind the Arizona Cardinals.
Arizona's freaking good.
Arizona is freaking good. But the Titans lose today. They're still in a comfortable spot in the AFC South. It still looks like they're going to win this division. But if they win today, then they have everything to prove. But they honestly, really, it kind of feels like they have nothing to lose. And of course, you still have risk of injury that you can lose. But when it comes to the outcome of this game, I don't really have a ton of expectations.
Ian, what do the Titans have to lose today?
Well, the only thing that comes to mind is if they do get blown out, if, you know, even more thoughts of pretenders in the AFC. But
oh, sure.
That's about it.
So I'll say this. I watched a lot of football yesterday. I saw a lot of sloppy stuff. So we can talk about pretenders and contenders. And I mean, my Chargers yesterday, goodness gracious.
You've been a lifelong Chargers fan.
Yeah. Just embarrassed me against Baltimore yesterday.
That was bad.
I watched Cleveland yesterday get housed by Arizona. Mm-hmm. I've seen somebody else get housed by Arizona, so I know what that looks like. I mean, I saw a lot of bad football. Even the Colts didn't look good against Texans yesterday. I watched a lot of football. Buffalo may be the best team in the league. I watched Kansas City yesterday. I don't think Kansas City's that good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sorry. So Ian does bring up a point that if they get blown out, we could probably come on and talk about, you know, are the Titans pretenders or whatever. I am not convinced that the Titans have anything to lose today. And maybe this doesn't matter for the team. But I think I'm speaking more to the fans. Just enjoy today.
Mm-hmm.
Just enjoy the game. You know, maybe this is one of those games where Vrabel pulls it out of his rear end, like he did against Kansas City in 2019, like he did against New England in 2018, like he did in the playoffs in 2020 when they beat the Patriots and they beat the Ravens and everybody was euphoric and it was great. Because that's what Titans Monday will be like tomorrow if they do pull off this victory. But as far as going in with an expectation for how the team's going to play today, I just want to see the Titans come out of this game not hurt, number one. And I just want them – I want to see some fight, some moxie, and I want to see some explosiveness on offense. Because even though I think everybody knows the Julio you thought you were trading for is probably not the Julio that you have right now, and even though AJ's been hurt and, you know, on a pitch count, and the offensive line's not what we thought it would be, whatever, like we were promised – good offense.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's the number one defense in the NFL, but we were promised good offense. So I want to see good offense. That's all I'm asking for. But as far as expectations, I picked it, I believe, 38-17 on Friday. In fact, I put it in my notes pads app so I would not forget what it was. I picked on Friday, 33-14 was my final score.
Mm-hmm.
If they go in there and they lose 33-14, then they're not as good as Buffalo. And then, okay. But guess what? Kansas City's not as good as Buffalo. The Chargers yesterday didn't look as good as Buffalo. The Ravens at times have not looked good enough to be able to beat Buffalo. I mean, really, the AFC, to Ian's point about AFC contenders, the AFC's kind of a mess. So even if you lose tonight, that probably doesn't change it. Now, the other side of the coin, what do the Titans have to gain by winning today? And I think if they win today, I think it is a shot to the gut of the Indianapolis Colts.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is kicking the Indianapolis Colts square in the groin. Now, I watched them yesterday. The Indianapolis media has this just unbelievable love affair with Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz is not terrible. But outside of that, they're not a good football team right now. And they are making all kinds of mistakes. And I know, they beat the Texans by 20-plus. But the Texans are, you know, they're what the Bengals used to be. Indianapolis is banking on this part of their schedule where they play the Texans and they play the Jets and they play the Jags and they play those teams and you play Buffalo and Kansas City and them and the Rams. They are banking on this part of the season where they get back into this race. And if you win today, an AFC game at home against the Buffalo Bills, whom they still have to play, that is a shot to their core. That is a, oh, my God, now we got to play the Titans in 2 weeks. And so as far as winning or losing, yeah, I mean, it'd be nice if they win this game because of the division and the playoffs and the statement it makes beating the Buffalo Bills. But nobody's expecting you to win this game. I'm not even sure we expected them to win this game coming into this season.
Mm-hmm.
And so we knew Indy was going to get off to a rough start. We knew the Titans had to do their part. So far they have not, because they lost that game to the Jets. But this is the opportunity that you have that is, to me, all positive today, nothing negative. You lose, you get blown out. Who cares? Move on to the Chiefs. You win, and all of a sudden, that win that Indianapolis was banking on, that game that they were gone. And now there's everybody else in the AFC is on notice, too, now. Baltimore, Chargers, 3-3 Browns.
Kansas City.
All these other teams. Kansas City, who I'm glad that it looked like maybe at the end of that game yesterday they got a little of their mojo back, because I didn't want them coming in here losing 2 in a row.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think then there's a real statement to be made. But I'm just saying, I look at today's game like a great opportunity for the Titans, and I look at it like there's nothing to lose. Before we came on the air here at Rock Bottom today, the Bills fans, now our rooftop here at Rock Bottom, not open. So there's a chance that the Titan fans will be off of work and will be down here by the time it's time to fill up this rooftop.
I'd love that.
Every other rooftop around downtown, Bill fan, Bill fan, Bill mm-hmm. fan, Bill fan, Bill fan, Bill fan. It's like the Patriots and the Eagles from a couple years ago had a kid, and it's the Buffalo Bills right now. They're not fully grown up like the Eagles or the Patriots fans were then, but that's what it looks like downtown. But, you know, the Bill fans were sitting there talking about whatever, and I told them I picked the Bills to win. And they liked my score, you know, 33-14. They're like, yeah, yeah. Those people, if they lose today, it's going to be like, you know, a funeral as they walk out of here and they walk out of this stadium, which, by the way, is the same thing that happened to the defending champion Bronco fans in 2016, the Packer fans that invaded the stadium in 2016, the Chief fans that invaded the stadium in 2019, the Patriot fans, the Eagle fans. If you went to any of those games, you remember what that was like. And it was a nice feeling sending those fans home unhappy. So it's not like it's never happened. But to them, they got real skin to lose right now. This is the first time that anybody since like 1993 has considered the Buffalo Bills the best team in the NFL. They've got some pride right now. And this is going to be a big shot to the gut for them if they lose. To me, for the Titans, I don't feel that way. I really don't. I watched ESPN this morning. They kicked it around the table. All three analysts picked the Bills. Greeny, just to be different, picked the Titans. So to me, you've got nothing to lose. So you go out there, play the way you want to play, hand the ball to Derrick Henry, but I'm not going to walk away from this game, even if they get beat. Unless they do something just stupid,
mm-hmm.
like throw mustard on the field. I am not going to walk away from this game upset with the Titans if they lose, or with the feeling like the season is over. You know, I will not have that feeling tomorrow, even if they lose 69-0 like they did in New England a handful of years ago.
Well, I'm going to write that down, and then I'm going to bring that back up tomorrow just in case we start to see you walk away from that sentiment a little bit. But I'm with you. I feel like the Titans today, they go out there, they give it their all. If they get a win, they put themselves in even better of a position. But if they don't get a win, nobody really expected it in the first place. But I do think that Ian brings up a good point in that it's how they play tonight. You know, if they lose 33-14, okay. Mm-hmm. But if it's because of turnovers, fumbling the ball, dropping the ball near the end zone, if it's these stupid mistakes that we've continued to see all season, I think that I will be a little bit upset about that.
I think there's a legitimate chance that I was more upset the day after they beat the Colts than I will be the day after they lose to the Bills.
Really?
Yeah. To your point, I mean, if they do stupid things, like when they played Indy on a Thursday night a couple years ago, mm-hmm. or last year. And Vrabel switched the punter during the week, and the punter got one blocked, and he shanked one, and A.J. Brown dropped a touchdown, mm-hmm. and Clowney missed a tackle on fourth down in the backfield, and Daquan Jones got a sack and got up celebrated, and the celebration time allowed him to stop the clock that allowed Indianapolis to kick field goal. Those kind of things are going to drive me nuts.
Right.
If that happens today. If they go out there and they get beat by the Buffalo Bills because Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs and
they're just
Cole
that much
Beasley,
better than you.
And this whole team is just really good, then you just got beaten by a better team mm-hmm. and move on. You know, then we could say, okay, here's where the Titans are struggling. Here's where the Titans are successful. I mean, I watched TV today. The Cleveland Browns are 3-3, and they're ready to write them off on television. I'm like, that is so stupid. I turned to my dad because he was over at my house earlier today, and we were watching, you know, Dan Orlovsky and the ESPN guys just tear Cleveland apart. And I watched that game. Mm-hmm. And I thought Baker early on was terrible yesterday. But I'm sitting there and I was thinking, you know, if Floyd watched these guys talking the way they're talking about Cleveland, he'd say, these guys don't know, and then, you know, put a certain word in there that he
football
would like to
use. Football from a jar of Vicks.
Yeah, but that's not what he would have said.
He'd be a little bit more colorful.
It would have been a four-letter word that starts with D, and I'll leave it at that.
All right. Okay.
These
Noted.
Guys don't know that. And it's like, that's how I feel. Like, it's early. Mm-hmm. It's early. You win today, you're still in first place. You lose today, you're still in first place. Look, could have lost to Buffalo, hurt if it comes yeah. down to, you know, you're trying to be the number two seed in the AFC, and so instead you're the number three seed? Sure. But Buffalo came in here last year, similar spot, got embarrassed, just housed, and they ended up in the AFC title game. You lost in the first round. Mm-hmm. It's not gonna, like, that's how I'm approaching today's game. I know, crazy. It seems incredibly measured.
It does. I'm actually pleasantly surprised at this approach.
I guess I'm just like a changed person. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We will get back to this topic, because it is an important topic about the Titans tonight and, you know, what do they have to lose. We'll touch on that. A special edition live here from Rock Bottom, the TD Power Hour at 3 o'clock, getting you set for Monday Night Football. Now, the Vols. Coming up next, I think I'm the only person in town, and I haven't listened to the other shows today, so maybe they did, maybe they didn't, that is going to tell you exactly what Tennessee fans need to hear after what happened on Saturday night. Because I don't think any person in the country knows what happened in that game. Like, the actual game. They know about everything else. Mm-hmm. And it's really important that everybody hear this. So we'll do that next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Live from Rock Bottom Brewery downtown. Monday Night Football. Let me tell you about my friends at Invigorate Health. That's right. InvigorateHealthTN.com. They're right there in Mount Juliet, and I love them. If you are feeling old, now I'm 32. It's not the same as being 22. It's not the same as being 25. If you're 45, 55, 60, go to Invigorate Health, and they will take your blood, and they will check your levels, and they'll tell you, hey, your estrogen level is too high. Your testosterone level is too low. You're vitamin D deficient. You're this, you're that, but you know. And then on top of it, they've got treatments. Whether it's a simple IV treatment you need, just pop that baby right in there. Whether it's hormone replacement therapy like testosterone or other things, their trained physicians and nurses will know. They've also got the brand new M-Sculpt Neo. And I did try out the M-Sculpt Neo machine. It's a $450,000 machine. They put a paddle right anywhere that you want to get rid of fat and gain muscle. and the electromagnetic, the infrared lights and electromagnetic field right there, bang, just goes right on there and knocks that fat away. It is fantastic. Invigorate Health, invigoratehealthtn.com. Again, that's Invigorate Health at invigoratehealthtn.com.
I mean, I told you guys this. I've seen multiple vape pens come down onto the field. You got water bottles, beer. There's a whole bottle of mustard that's down here on the field.
Was it at least a Pro V1?
No, it was the old yellow, you know, range ball Spalding. Lane told me, he said, this kind of hurt.
Did it hit him?
I asked him and he walked away.
This is getting stupid.
It was stupid. Stupid on Saturday night. Vol fans just bringing it down from the 800 levels at Neyland Stadium. Now, here's what's funny. I sent out a tweet yesterday. I saw this on TV. You were there.
Uh-huh.
So we'll get your thought on it in a second.
Yeah.
I saw this on TV, and I thought what was a fun, competitive game. I would have been fine tomorrow because today's Monday Night Football. I would have been fine talking about Ole Miss faking injuries for 2 hours tomorrow. Would have been fine with it. But, all that's gone now. All that anybody else outside of anyone who's a Tennessee fan walked away from Saturday night thinking was, oh, no, there goes Tennessee and their crazy-ass fans once again. That's exactly what everybody thought. And I'm watching this unfold on TV, and I'm seeing it, and I see, you know, golf balls and, you know, whatever coming down, water bottles and beer cans, and I'm like, there's 54 seconds left. Call the game. Like, just call it. Get these kids out of here. Because I am the kind of guy who worries about what could go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a what could go wrong guy, not a, hey, it's fine, you know. That's not how I operate. So you start throwing golf balls on a field, somebody gets clocked in the eye, all of a sudden you got a much bigger problem. So I'm watching this, and it's an unmitigated embarrassment for Tennessee. And yet I listened to the reaction yesterday. I fired off a tweet yesterday, And I did it on purpose.
That was a take.
I did it on purpose. I said if I was commissioner of the SEC, I would be considering banning Tennessee from a bowl game this year for that. And everybody freaked out. And the key word in there was considering.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would be considering it because I want to see, you know, that's when you discuss with your people, what do you all think about it? Is it too harsh? Whatever. But I also want to hear what the reaction was. And the fans, my goodness. Ole Miss faked all them injuries, and it's the refs. Blame the refs. Blame the. You realize nobody outside of the state of Tennessee looked at that and thought, oh, it's the refs' fault that they're throwing all the beer cans on the field. And here's what Tennessee fans need to hear. You embarrass your program when you do that to a level that it actually hurts you, that it legitimately keeps you from winning in the future. This isn't just like some people get on TV and say, ah, Tennessee, you know, they shouldn't have done that. This is why people don't want to coach here. They do not want to coach at the University of Tennessee. And Josh Heupel might be a great coach. I don't know. He's doing a fine job. But there were other people that if they had raised their hand and said, hey, we want the Tennessee job, that 15 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago would have raised their hand up and said, hey, we want the Tennessee job, that now have no interest because they think the fan base is too crazy. They may be right. They may be wrong. I told you. It's like a political party, right? The crazies make everybody else look bad.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, the crazies that throw stuff on the field or the crazies that veto a coach off of Twitter, they make your entire fan base look bad. Remember when you were looking for a coach in 2017? You ended up with Jeremy Pruitt. But remember when Kevin Sumlin, who had been fired at Texas A&M, was rumored to be a candidate for the job, and it came out, yeah, Sumlin has no interest. He's not interested in that. Established coaches are not interested in coming to Tennessee because they don't want to deal with the crazies. And then when the crazies go off and do something crazy, then it makes everybody else who is not associated with your program and cannot look the other way just say, no, I want no part of that. And I don't think Tennessee fans understand that. I think they look at it like, the refs screwed us. What are the fans supposed to do? And it's like, that's not it. And again, not everybody who roots for Tennessee threw a bottle of mustard on the field on Saturday night. But that's what everybody in America thinks of you. is that you throw mustard on the field, that you guys are absolutely out of your minds, that you're an entitled fan base that thinks you should get whatever coach you want, that you should get every good call in every game, and God forbid if you don't. And the pure whataboutism that started coming out yesterday about what about when Ole Miss fans threw stuff on the court? What about when so-and-so threw things on the field before? What about? Nobody cares. I'm looking at your program. I'm looking at the way that people outside of this state feel about your program. Because it doesn't matter what the people inside your state think of this program. It matters what the people outside of your program, of your state, think of the program. You can get every good player in the state of Tennessee, and you're not going to beat Florida. You can get every good player in the state of Tennessee, and you're not going to beat Georgia. So it's about what other people think. And I'm sitting here looking at this, and I'm like, I am embarrassed. And these other people are like, oh, yeah, crazies at Tennessee. So I hope Tennessee fans realize that. But I don't think they're going to realize that. I think they're going to hear this, and they're going to think, oh, there goes Jared again, ripping on the balls. There goes, I picked you to win on Saturday. Like, but that's what they're saying. Because Tennessee fans have never been able to hear the truth. They cannot handle the truth. I was fat when I was a kid. Like 250, 260, like fat. And I used to like never want to step on a scale. I never went to the doctor because I never wanted to have to step on the scale. I knew I was fat, but I didn't know how fat I was. You step on the scale, it confirms. Without you being able to argue, it tells you how fat you are. And I never wanted to do that. Like, as a kid, I was so afraid of it. And then once you start doing it, like, you get comfort in what you are and the progress you made or things like that. But, but Tennessee fans cannot step on the scale and look at their program as to what they truly are. And that's what allows the embarrassment to continue. Was Ole Miss faking injuries on Saturday night?
100%.
I think they were.
Yes.
But guess what? Willie McGinnis faked an injury to get the clock to stop when they played the Colts in a big game in 2005 or 6. And guess what the Colt fans at the RCA Dome didn't do? Throw mustard onto the field. Like, they're not, Tennessee's not the first place where they got a bad call that changed an outcome of a game, where they got the, they're not the first place that did that. They are the first place where they vetoed a coach off of Twitter. And that's the kind of thing that stays with people. Like, this stuff stays with people outside of here. You don't need people inside of here. You don't need them inside of Tennessee to think that the Tennessee program is a victim. But you got to understand that everybody else around the country does not look at the Tennessee program like a victim. They are embarrassed about the Tennessee program, and they really think that they're the fan base that doesn't have a clue. And I hope Tennessee fans understand that the next time the crazies get all crazy.
Well, to be fair, I don't think that what happened on Saturday was a reaction that was exclusive to just Tennessee fans. There are plenty of crazy fan bases out there, one of them which I am a part of, and I'm not going to stand up here on my high horse and gasp at the behavior of Tennessee fans and so I say, oh, I would never do that, or LSU football. No, but I'm talking about what happened on Saturday.
But it's all part of it. It's all part of the crazies representing what people think of that brand.
But I'm not going to say that there was abominable behavior, that only Tennessee fans would have done that, because it's not. I think a lot of other fan bases would have reacted in a similar way if there was an outcome, if the outcome of the game was decided on this call and it was a very difficult call to make.
All right, you're a
teacher. I personally thought it was a first down.
You're a teacher.
Okay.
And you catch a student cheating.
Mm-hmm.
Student says, I mean, other people in the class cheat too.
I'm not saying it excuses the behavior.
That's what you're kind of doing.
No,
though.
I'm
it's
not
like
saying,
a moral equivalence.
Well, just because Ole Miss threw trash on the court at their basketball game a couple years ago, then Tennessee fans have every right to do that. Just because other fan bases would do it doesn't necessarily excuse the behavior. I'm not saying what Tennessee fans did was right on Saturday. I'm just saying, first of all, I understand it because it was a tough call to make, and I understand it because that sucks. That's annoying. That's a call that did not go in their favor, and there were all of these things being built up throughout the entire week of all the trash talking on Twitter, of Lane Kiffin, you know, jabbing at Tennessee on Twitter and press conferences. I'm not saying that excuses it, but I'm saying I understand it, and I'm not going to stand up here and say, oh, Tennessee fans, shame on you, because they're not the only fan base that would have done that.
But don't you think that most people around the country have a negative opinion of Tennessee fans because of stuff like this.
Yes.
That the Shiano Sunday that the Tennessee fans proudly pumped their chest about, like, because they're empowered that they affected the university to make a decision they didn't want them to make, that Shiano Sunday was bad for the football brand. Look who you hired as your coach. And again, I think Heupel's a fine. I think he's fine.
Yeah.
I have no idea if he's going to be good long-term, anything like that. But this is the Tennessee job. And when the Tennessee job came open, nobody thought that Josh Heupel was going to be the guy that was qualified for that job. You mean the guy that took UCF and they had been on the decline the 3 years he had been there, and now he's the coach of Tennessee. The Auburn coach who just got fired had no interest in the Tennessee job, but he took the UCF job. What? Like, wait a minute. What? And that is where you are as a program. And it's not just one thing, but it's everything. It's Shiano Sunday. It's making up an excuse to fire Jeremy Pruitt. It's this. It's all, like, everybody. Like, you are a laughingstock of a fan base. And until you either embrace it and just say, hey, we're the crazies.
I think they do.
You think that, like, did you embrace that on Saturday night?
What do you mean by embrace it? Cheer people on and throw
like,
mustard on
like
the field?
Say, hey,
no.
This is us right here. Good old Rocky Top.
No.
This is who we are.
No, I did not.
That's embracing it. Like the U in the 80s, you know, the U,
yeah.
When they basically had rappers on the sidelines and they were paying the players and everybody knew about it.
No, I wasn't sitting up there and saying, yeah, this is awesome. This is cool. You know, keep this up. No, I was not doing that.
But see, that's the thing is if you want to embrace the crazies, like if that's what Tennessee fans decide that they want to embrace, that's fine. The problem is you're never going to get anybody who's good to coach come coach for you. Because they're all going to be like, no. I don't want to bring my wife and kid into that. No, thank you. And you're going to have players that are sitting there and thinking, man, you know, like Georgia feels to me like a very buttoned-up program. Like I think the most controversial thing that's happened at Georgia in the last handful of years is when they bought condoms for a Ludacris concert. And they had to apologize for it or whatever. If I'm picking between Georgia and Tennessee, or Alabama and Tennessee, those are buttoned up programs. Forget about the winning. Buttoned up programs. That look, they got passionate fans. They don't veto coaches off of Twitter. And that's where I think to myself, like, you know, can we start doing some positive things? The athletic director took the job and told the fans, can you please cool it on Twitter? That's why. Because he knows that the crazies right now are what everybody outside here thinks of it. Let's get to your reaction on it. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. So we're going to do this and then the TD Power Hour at 3 o'clock, and we are right back to the Titans on Monday Night Football. But again, I could not believe what I was watching. I also got a chuckle out of it that Jordan Rodgers was calling the game where they were throwing all the trash in the field, and I could just tell. And he and I have not even talked about it. I could tell he was holding back, like that inner Vanderbilt in him that doesn't really like Tennessee.
Yeah.
I could tell he was holding that back. Let me tell you about Edmund, 615-737-1025, plus what Feinbaum had to say. We'll get to that next. Let me tell you about Edmunds. Buying a car can be overwhelming, especially now that the demand is back and in full swing. Lucky for you, my friends at Edmunds has been taking care of the stress out of car shopping for over 50 years. Edmunds editors drive over 500,000 miles every year, testing thousands of hours on hundreds of new vehicles. They review almost every car on the market and rank the best ones in each category so you can narrow your search and compare options side by side to find the best vehicle for you. When you're ready, Edmunds makes it easy to find options in your area with accurate price estimates. They've got their top-rated awards, so selected by Edmunds editors based on extensive testing, rankings, and they consider performance, comfort, technology, fuel economy, and value. Edmunds is here to guide you to your perfect vehicle. Visit Edmunds.com to see their best car rankings and search for vehicles near you. That's Edmunds.com for cars. There's Edmunds.
Ole Miss beats Tennessee at Neyland, and we have to ask you, as a Tennessee product now, with what you saw at the end of that game, where the fans were throwing things onto the field. They weren't happy with the fourth down spot, weren't happy with Joe Milton running out of bounds, but you're throwing golf balls, mustard bottles onto the field. What was your reaction, Paul?
I thought it was classless and unconscionable behavior. It was an absolute disgrace. And I realize, as everyone does, in a stadium of 100,000 plus, This was not just a handful, but maybe a couple of hundred. But that's one too many. I mean, the idea that somebody would throw a golf ball and nearly hit Lane Kiffin bottles, mustard packages, I mean, it really it's hard to wrap your arms around what a bad and ugly look that was for the University of Tennessee.
There you go. That was Paul Feinbaum on SportsCenter. It's hard to wrap your head around what an ugly look that was for the University of Tennessee. Do you think Tennessee fans think that? Or do you think they've wrapped their head around, the Ole Miss was faking injuries,
I do think that some Tennessee fans are like, come on, guys, really? Like, do we really need to be acting like this? Seriously? But I do think that a good bit of the Tennessee fan base probably doesn't look at it that way.
So we've got a statement from the SEC. The SEC has fined Tennessee $250,000, which I thought was what was going to happen. I think it should be a harsher punishment, because I think you have to set the message that this type of behavior is not acceptable. And I don't think fining somebody $250,000 when it doesn't have anything to do with you, I'm not sure that does anything. So I threw out there yesterday, if I were the commissioner of the SEC, I would publicly consider a bowl ban. And people got all bent out of shape because they think when you say that you would consider something, that it means that's what you would do. But I would consider it to pretty much scare the fans of, hey, I mean business.
Because it has something that will affect the fans.
Sure.
$250,000 doesn't affect the fans at all.
Sure. If Brett McMurphy tweeted out, the SEC league office is considering banning Tennessee from a bowl game, that would send the message that, hey, this is how seriously we take it. Today at 1 o'clock or whenever it was they announced $250,000, who cares? You think the mustard thrower cares that Tennessee has to pay $250,000?
Probably not.
No,
they do not. It doesn't come out of their pocket.
They do not. So what is the SEC statement surrounding this?
So in addition to the $250,000 that Tennessee will be fined, they have these stipulations required by the SEC, one being be required to use all available resources, including security, stadium, and television video to identify individuals who threw objects onto the playing field or at the opposing team. All individuals identified as having been involved disrupting the game shall be prohibited from attending Tennessee athletics events for the remainder of the 2021-22 academic and athletic year, which brings into account the fact that you are held personally liable. You don't have to contribute to that $250,000, but you will be held liable if you took place in that. So I think that is a little bit more of a personable punishment. But the second is review and update its athletics department game management procedures and alcohol availability policies to prevent a reoccurrence of Saturday night's disruption, which shall include an evaluation of agreed upon SEC sportsmanship, game management, and alcohol policies to verify full compliance with existing standards. It does say that they will not suspend alcohol sales at Tennessee games for right now, but we'll definitely keep an eye on it. And the third thing is, following completion of this review and prior to the University of Tennessee's next home football game, the university shall provide a report to the conference office to summarize its efforts to identify and penalize offenders and its plan to enact policies to prevent future similar incidents while ensuring compliance with conference standards.
Okay, so that's a whole lot of nothing.
You'll be held liable if we identify you, and these are things that we are going to put in place to prevent this moving forward.
Do you know what that sounds to me?
What?
The accounts and depictions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of the Southeastern Conference and Tennessee Athletics. If you do this, you will be fined the maximum penalty under federal law. Again, that is the express written consent of ABC and the National Football League. Like, did anybody ever hear that and say, you know what, I'm not going to tape the game, I'm not going to DVR the game.
I'm not going to put that on my Snapchat story.
Right. Did anybody ever think that? I mean, I hear this and it's like, we will consider not selling beer at the stadium, but we're still going to sell beer. We're going to fine Tennessee $250,000, but you don't have to pay it. If you did it, we're going to find you, but we're not going to look. That's what it was to me, a whole bunch of nothing.
I think it's more of a warning than anything.
Of course it is, but it's not a real warning.
But like, I mean, a bowl ban?
My real warning was a warning, and I wasn't going to do it, but it was a warning. It was a warning that would get everybody rattled. A bull ban.
I think this is the warning before the punishment, because this is like, Tennessee, we're keeping an eye on you. Next time it happens, that's when we consider a bull ban. I mean, at this point,
Kentucky
isn't really going to do anything.
I think Kentucky's in Lexington, so that game.
Or disqualification of your next game, whatever it may be.
There's not another game like this on the schedule, but if there was in Knoxville, like Kentucky's in Lexington,
Alabama's in Tuscaloosa.
Right, and even then, Alabama's going to kill them,
yeah.
So I don't worry about that. If this were to happen again this season, what's the league office going to do? Fine them $500,000?
I mean, you can continue to fine them.
The fans don't care. They pay coaches millions of dollars to go away. Fans don't care about the money.
You can continue to find them, and I do think that, I mean, obviously the athletic department is going to be incredibly frustrated over this fine, much less another one, so I do think that they will put things in place to limit this from happening in the future, because they don't want to continue to have to pay $1 million a season just because their fans are throwing mustard bottles on the field. But I do think that any sort of serious, harsh punishment after the first time would have been a little bit dramatic.
We'll get to your phones on it next. Yep. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Live downtown at Rock Bottom Brewery. TD Power Hour, 3 o'clock. The pregame show starts at 5 o'clock for Monday Night Football here on Stillman & Company. TriStar Moving, my official movers. It was a year ago that I got hooked up with TriStar Moving, and thank goodness I did. They made my move so simple. Everything was a breeze. They take great care of your furniture throughout the entire moving experience. They offer home protection, covering your floors, banisters, railings, door jams, and even the doors themselves. They are always upping the game when it comes to mover training. And again, everything was taken care of. They have a state-of-the-art storage facility in Mount Juliet in case you've got a little bit of an overflow there with my friends at TriStar Moving. Their owners, Garrett and Robert, good dudes, true Nashvillians that care deeply about helping out this hometown. Everybody that's been my friend that's used TriStar has absolutely raved about it. This company is on the real deal and on the rise quickly because TriStar holds a TriStar standard. TriStar Moving, five-star service. So if you're looking to move, give my friends at TriStar Moving a call, 615-640-1219, or visit their website, nationalmoving.org/radio, where they'll give you 5% off your entire move. TriStar Moving, 615-640-1219, nationalmoving.org/radio. Tell them Jared Stillman sent you for 5% off your entire move. TriStar Moving. My official movers.
Well, it seems like an hour ago. This is the last play. Hooker hitting Jacob Warren for nearly a conversion on a 4th and 24, and then all chaos ensued as that spot was reviewed. A golf ball thrown out of the stands is going to hit Lane Kiffin here. Looks like on the right elbow, and still water bottles and debris getting thrown down onto the sidelines on both sides.
Poor Jordan. Poor Jordan calling that game on Saturday.
He was awfully kind about it, I would have to say, because I'm sure there were a lot of things that he wanted to say that he just kept inside.
I'd say there's a lot of things about Jordan's life where he has a lot of things he wants to say.
But doesn't necessarily say in public.
There's probably something to
that. There's probably a few people in his life.
To your phones on the Vols fans, 615-737-1025. I'm not even talking about the game today. I'm not even talking about the fact that Tennessee could have won. I'm not talking about the fact that Ole Miss did fake injuries. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about the fact that it was a great game. I'm not talking about the fact that Hendon Hooker got hurt at the end of the game, and mm-hmm. I'm really worried about that. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about the fact that Joe Milton decided to run out of bounds with 3 seconds to go on the clock. To the phones. Phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. TD expected to join us here at Rock Bottom for the TD Power Hour in about 10 minutes or so. Jeff is going to kick us off this hour. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, Jared. Hey, what's your new?
Caroline, get to the point, please.
Caroline, all right. So I've lived in Tennessee almost all my life. I have never been a Tennessee fan because I always saw them as classless. Before any of that even occurred, when they were booing Corral because he dropped to a knee because he was hurt, you know, that's the kind of classless fans they are. When they were booing injured players because they were laying on the field, and if the Tennessee fans want to go, oh, well, they were just trying to cheat. Well, you know, on the drive just before, the Tennessee players were laying on the ground hurt as well. You don't cheer hurt players. You don't boo hurt players. That's the kind of classless people they are. And then they proceeded to show exactly how little class they have.
Thank you for your call, Jeff. See, here's the thing, and I'll say this about Tennessee fans, and I'll say this about Dallas Cowboy fans and Oakland Raider fans, and, you know, the ones where they're kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think every Tennessee fan in the building was booing or cheering an injured player.
No, and not every single Tennessee fan in the building was throwing mustard on the field.
But I do agree with the caller that I think there's a lot of people that do view that as the representation of what Tennessee is. And that's the problem, right? Like, the crazies are always the problem in everything. And, I mean, this is going to sound crazy. Do you all remember a day? I remember a day where you could want one guy to win president, somebody else can want the other person to win president.
And you could get along.
And you don't have a problem with the fact that the other person wanted that person to be president.
Correct.
But now it's like, if you ask somebody, like, if you ask somebody who they voted for president, that's like asking somebody what color their underwear is. You know, like, you just don't do it.
Too much information.
Yes. Like, no. And it's like, well, how did we get there? And it's because of the crazies. It's because of the crazies. And so I look at this with Tennessee fans, and I get it. I get it. Not every, you know, fan in section 216 or whatever section it was, you know, whatever you want. Mm-hmm. Not every fan's crazy. You know, there's a lot of people that like the Vols and want them to win and live their life like normal and whatnot. But I just hope the fans, this was my whole point, I hope the fans understand how bad of a look it is when you as a fan base do this kind of stuff. But I don't think they do. I think they look at it like, oh, stop talking about us, Jared. You know, like, no, like, Georgia wouldn't do this. Florida wouldn't do this.
Oh, don't put Florida up on a pedestal like that. Florida fans are plenty crazy.
When did Florida, Florida is crazy.
Florida fans are crazy.
The state is crazy.
Florida man.
When did, in all seriousness, when did, and I'm not being rude, when did any of these other fan bases veto a coach off of Twitter?
I don't know of any of them that did. Because I don't think as many fan bases have had that many opportunities to veto of a coach off of Twitter.
I mean,
Tennessee has had more coaching searches in my lifetime than probably any other program in the country.
I mean, even at LSU, a crazy fan base that just won the national title and just fired their coach. At least, you know, the coach hit on a pregnant woman who was married to a higher up at LSU at a gas station first, you know?
Yes. It was an amicable breakup.
Dude, I read that story in The Athletic.
Wild, right?
I read that story to my dad, and I did like the Ed O voice when it was like the Orgeron was informed by the woman that she was married, and he said, what that matter? We got the text line.
One texter texts in and says, I really hate that all of the fanfare that the university planned and implemented was overshadowed by the chaos at the end of the game. The flyover, the light show, the honoring of the Olympic athletes and servicemen all will never be what people talk about. So I do have to say, that pregame was a blast.
What was it like? Because I wasn't there, and so
it was so cool. They had fireworks going on. They had like an orange and white light show. They had this like this light that went around the stadium. This bright orange light. It was really, really cool.
Let's go.
Checkered Neyland, it was really cool. I mean, all of it was just very well planned.
I mean, what was cool for me was that it was a good game.
It was such a good game.
That's all I want is a good game. And then can we please all just get in our cars and go home after it's over and not throw mustard on the field? That's all I ask. James is up next on the Vols. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, James.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Jared. I just want to say this. I've been going to Tennessee games. I started out in 1991 as a season ticket holder. I actually gave them up. I got tired of the mediocrity like a lot of fans did. Maybe some fans call me a fair-weather fan. That's fine. I don't care. But this is despicable what happened. I mean, even in my 20s, I'm in my early 50s, even in my 20s, I would never think to do something so sophomoric and stupid. And this is a very, very bad look for the university. It really is. And I don't know what – I think that somebody should be punished, but it shouldn't be the football players. I don't honestly know what the right response to this should be, but something should be done. Now, let me say this, and you're not going to like hearing this too, Jared, but it's the truth. Just give me a little latitude. This doesn't resonate well with ball fans coming from you. And, again, I don't feel that way at all. I love your show. I love your honesty. Sure. I love the fact that you're brutally honest. That's kind of who I am. But a lot of ball fans see you wrongfully, so I'm going to say, but they see you as someone who does not like Tennessee. And I don't believe that for a minute. I don't think you hate Tennessee.
Caroline thinks that, James.
James,
I appreciate your call. I really do.
Absolutely.
Caroline thinks I hate Tennessee.
I do.
But I'm going to say this. I've been reading Tim Grover's book. Mm-hmm. You know, he's got a couple books out, Michael and Kobe's trainer.
Yep.
And he said in the book that, you know, the cleaner, there's the closer, the cooler, and the cleaner. And the cleaner's, like, always on all the time. That a cleaner doesn't care, like, what you think of the cleaner. Like, Michael Jordan doesn't care mm-hmm. that Luke Longley gets mad that Michael rips his rear end. I get it. There's a lot of Vol fans out there, to that caller's point, that's like, here's the opportunity for Jared to take a crack at the Vols, and he's going for it, and here he goes. There's a lot of people that are like that. Mm-hmm. I get it. I don't care. Like, I'm just telling you what I think of your program. I thought you were going to win Saturday night. I did. I picked the Vols to win, and they didn't win. And I'm sitting there watching them throw mustard on the field and golf balls, and I'm like, yeah, these are the same people that vetoed a coach off of Twitter. And that this is the same guy. Kevin Sumlin didn't want to go coach there 4 years ago. But instead of sitting there saying, well, Sumlin's no good anyways, because you would have gone nuts if he had taken the job then, realize, what can we do to be a place that is more welcoming, that people want to send their kids to play, that people want to coach at? And that's all I'm asking.
I do also, I mean, name a fan base that is going to be overly welcoming whenever your team kind of, the game gets screwed by a bad call.
You want me to be honest with you?
Yeah.
Clemson. You ever been to Clemson?
I have not.
Go to Clemson. It is the nicest atmosphere ever. Like, year in and year out, it is like the first time Louisville was in the ACC, a lot of people made that trip to Clemson. We're doing radio, you know, and every caller that had gone to the game was like, they were the nicest fans.
Oh, well,
they
that's
the
good.
Best ever. They
okay,
were
well, I'm not going to, I won't rip on Clemson.
So Clemson. All right, we got to get to TD, and I've got to go get a wardrobe change because TD is game ready over here. And I'm sitting here looking like a bum, you know. So we got TD in the house. A special Monday night edition of the TD Power Hour is coming up next. Speaking of that game, FanDuel Sportsbook, my official sportsbook app. The final game of the NFL Week 6 schedule is tonight, and FanDuel wants you to get the most out of every play. That's why they're giving everyone a $10 risk-free bet. All you have to do is bet a same-game parlay with three legs or more, and if your bet doesn't win, FanDuel will pay you back up to $10. Tonight's game on the same-game parlay, let's go over in points, let's go over Josh Allen passing yards, and let's go over Ryan Tannehill in passing yards, too. The Titans are probably going to be playing a little catch-up today. I love the FanDuel Sportsbook app because there's no feeling like nailing a same-game parlay bet. So lock in your bet today on the FanDuel Sportsbook and get up to $10 back if your bet doesn't win. New to FanDuel, use the promo code JGM to also receive a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That's promo code JGM so they know that I sent you. 21 and older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires 7 days. Max refund $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same-game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on mobile and web. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.